From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of July, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will be here too from Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Shelbyville, Illinois. And we'll wrap up our time together with a discussion of the weather forecast. Mike Tenura will be here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, I'll bring you some of the agricultural news for the day. We'll have a Farm Bill listening session right here in the state of Illinois later this summer. We'll give you as many details as we can during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. We're joined now by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hi, Dan. Thanks for being with us. I take you back in the great state of Illinois today.
Yes, I am. I'm enjoying the cooler weather. It's still 100 and something still down in Texas. So I got here for the cool weather. If I would have came a little earlier, I would have got in on the warm weather. But I've enjoyed the cool weather here for the last several days.
That's a lot better. Hopefully you'll have good weather next week, and it looks like that's going to be the case. As you travel around with the team, I think Kirk Kimmel will be with you and Wayne Nelson. Merrill Crowley, too, if I remember correctly. At three dates, you'll be where? In Danville, in Peoria, and in Springfield at the Farm Bureau buildings at 7 o'clock each of those evenings, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, right?
Yes, that's right. Looking forward to seeing a lot of guys that I haven't seen since when I was up at WLL meeting there in March. So this will be a nice little tour for us to kind of go through Central Illinois anyway.
Okay, so we've had a lot of things happening, especially in the weather forecast, and we've had some interesting days. We either have an outside up or an outside down week, and I haven't looked to see which direction we're really going at this moment for the soybeans, if I remember correctly. What do you see technically in the marketplace?
Well, soybeans, probably, you still have to say probably the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we've just been basically in a wide range, trading range from the high that we had of 1047 down to this 980, and then we closed here at 1005 here today. So we're not quite in the middle of that range, but we've had some swings in that over the past 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Now, yesterday we had a little short-term reversal to the upside in soybeans. It held pretty close to we had the previous low there in probably early July low or late June low. And now we've been able to extend that reversal yesterday for a few pennies here today, up another 6 cents or thereabouts. As if you really wanted to be a little more bullish, a technician would have liked to seen probably a little stronger upside follow through from yesterday's reversal. So far, so good, and a lot of the technical indicators are suggesting that this recovery rally from the big decline that we had there on Tuesday is complete, and now we're in the process of trying to recover what we lost there on Tuesday as we go on into the first part of next week.
And for corn?
Corn, it's amazing. Corn, let me pull up the chart here. We really haven't done much since last spring, tell you the truth. We've been in the 380s on these corn basically from end of March until now. We've been in this 384, 385 range, actually a range between 380 and 395. There, when the market was worried a little bit about planting delays and then the hot, dry weather, we were able to pop up into this 395 to 410 range, or we went as high as 417. Now we're back at the same level we were prior to the spring planting worries and then the hot and dry worries. Even though we did close higher today, we closed at the bottom end of the range, so that's not really technically friendly. But, you know, yesterday's reversal still remains in place. The technical indicators are still suggesting that there's more recovery opportunity to occur in corn. I'm sure that's going to be pretty well determined by whatever the weather forecast looks like tomorrow going into the weekend, and then what the trade perceives will happen to crop rating levels on Monday afternoon. It does look like the drier areas, a large portion of the drier areas, have gotten filled in with some kind of rain. The reason we were higher today was the rains in Iowa were more of a bust than anything. Iowa didn't really catch too much. Nebraska caught some rains, and Illinois caught some rains, but Iowa kind of missed out on those rains. So everybody will be watching Iowa's crop rating levels to see if they would decline because they missed some of the rains and whatnot. But all in all, it's, you know, for the month, soybeans are in good position to close out higher, which would be a counter-seasonal close higher. 9 out of 10, well, at least 8 out of 10 times, soybeans will close lower during the month of July. And that's the same way with corn. Now, corn, we have to gain a few more stands. We have to kind of get up above, I think, 392. I think we closed out June at 391 and a quarter. Today, we ended up closing here about 386 and three quarters. So we're only 3 cents away or 4 cents away from an unchanged close in July. And depending upon what the market does here on Friday and Monday, corn could very likely close higher for the month of July, which would be also a counter-seasonal close for the month of July, because most of the time they close lower. So technically, we're still hanging in there for a biases of a sideways to higher climb. But fundamentally, it's all going to kind of come down to probably what USDA gives us on the August crop report, and then what crop rating levels do here over the next couple of weeks. Because what the trade's arguing about is, are we at trend line, or are we 2 bushels below trend line, or are we 4 bushels below trend line? And, you know, this argument could go on all the way until the combines roll. And that's when my guess is we're really not going to know what kind of crop we got out there because of the different types of adversities that we had. We had late plantings, then hot and dry weather, and just looking at the crops driving up here, the corn crops look pretty good from where I drove. The beans still look awful small to me. Whether or not those small beans will fool us and come up with big yields, or will they, you know, be a couple bushels below trend or 3 bushels below trend? And again, I don't think anybody's really going to know anything until the combines start rolling, Todd.
My assessment's the same. I have to agree with you in what the crop looks like. I think the corn crop doesn't look so bad. I have not been into Indiana and Ohio recently. Sometime I'm going to have to turn that direction and see where they stand. Or into the Kankakee area, which has been really rough, too. And, you know, I was surprised, Dan, in the upper part of Minnesota when I drove back last week, by how bad that looked in Wisconsin. While it was raining, really raining when I drove through there, I couldn't see very well. Their crops are waterlogged. And usually that doesn't have as big an impact, but boy, those things roll at this point. Either they've just been waterlogged for so long. It'll be interesting to see how all this turns out. And as you said,
It's an unusual year. I mean, it's a year of extremes from the very beginning. You know, too wet, too dry, too late, too cold, too hot. And I don't think we're done with cold weather yet. I think we have flipped the switch. I think the heat's over with for a while, and I think now we're going to go into cold weather or cooler weather below normal. And I haven't ruled out an early frost yet before the thing's over with. So we still have 6 weeks of weather, or maybe more, to determine what size of crop we really have.
All right. Well, thanks so much, and hopefully a lot of folks will be able to catch up with you next week.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody next week.
All right. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, the House Agriculture Committee will be in Illinois next month on the 30th day in Decatur at the Farm Progress Show for a Farm Bill listening session. This was announced by the chairman of the committee, Michael Conaway, a Republican of Texas, and the ranking member, Colin Peterson, a Democrat of Minnesota. They say the next Farm Bill conversations in the field will take place in Decatur to gather input from farmers, ranchers, and stakeholders. We'll have more details about the Farm Progress Show and the listening session. Again, it's on the 30th day of August at 9 a.m. Of course, the Farm Progress Show, a three-day event, and we'll be broadcasting from there along with Orion Samuelson in the University of Illinois tent. Be sure to check out the Farm Progress Show website and the willag.org website for details of all of these events in the future. On that note, don't forget that Dan Zwicker will be in town next week at the Summer Grain Marketing Tour. He'll be in Vermilion County in Danville at 7 o'clock Monday evening at the Farm Bureau Building. The Farm Bureau Building in Peoria, Illinois on Tuesday again at 7 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock in Sangamon County in Springfield on Wednesday. That's the Summer Grain Marketing Tour if you want to catch up and see Dan Zwicker in person. Well, let's come back now to agricultural politics. The White House has sent the U.S. Senate the president's nomination of Sam Clovis to a top Department of Agriculture post. The Senate confirmed this week it received President Trump's nomination of Clovis as USDA Undersecretary for Research, Education, and Economics. The nomination is coming under some scrutiny as Senate Agriculture top Democrat Debbie Stabenow questioned his merits to serve as the USDA Chief Scientist and his comments against crop insurance. In 2013, Clovis commented that he thought crop insurance was unconstitutional. And finally, today, U.S. grain and ethanol groups applauded Brazil's announcement to delay a tariff on U.S. ethanol imports. Brazil announced this week it would impose a 30-day delay of a decision on a pending proposal to impose a 20% tariff on U.S. ethanol imports. The proposal would allow 500 million liters, or about 132.1 million gallons annually, of U.S. ethanol imports before triggering the tariff. In a joint statement, the U.S. Grains Council, Growth Energy, and Renewable Fuels Association said they were encouraged by the postponement. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Hey, do visit our website. You should check out our calendar of events. We have a whole slew of things coming up, including next week, the Ore Center's 40th anniversary celebration. And then the following weeks, of course, Farm Progress Show, the Illinois State Fair, Tech School coming up in September, and two agronomy days, one here on campus and one at Purdue. All there in our calendar of events. You should check out the details today at willag.org. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, you know, the Dakotas have been opting for a changing crop rotation over the last decade and a half. Farmers there have been searching out the best alternatives. Mark Fomo is from Litchfield. That's about 85 miles west of Fargo. He used to plant sunflowers. He doesn't anymore because the blackbirds, you heard me right, blackbirds were eating up his profits.
We lost hundreds of pounds an acre to blackbirds, and we just needed something else to do that. And we know varieties and all that stuff is phenomenal as far as corn goes. I mean, we try to raise anything from an 82 to a 95-day corn.
Well, those are really short season varieties by comparison to the 110-day corn farmers in the I-States use, Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa. A farmer says of the 7.2 million acres of soybeans he and his fellow North Dakotans planted this year, we needed something to rotate with corn. Jim Howe, a Castleton, North Dakota farmer, agrees. He, unlike Formo, lives in the Red River Valley. This year, Howe says his crops are still in pretty good shape. That certainly is not the case for the rest of the state.
Well, our western part of the state, and I feel sorry for our fellow farmer, but they're suffering from a severe drought. We in the eastern northern part of North Dakota in the Red River Valley are probably going to get an average crop to a fair crop versus a severe drought. We've been affected by the drought. Our yield goals have been cut a little bit as far as the top end of yielding, but we're fortunate, very lucky that certainly the small grains are made now. We're still waiting, admittedly, for additional rain for the soybeans, corn, and sugar beet.
This year, farmers in North Dakota have planted enough acres to soybeans, some 1.1 million more than last year, to become the United States' fourth largest producer of the oilseed by acreage. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. We're now joined by Mike Tenurum. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us. Can you tell me, over the last 48 hours, which parts of the Corn Belt missed the rainfall?
It's basically centered on Iowa and then into parts of Missouri and even parts of far western Illinois. But in general, most of the Corn Belt saw some rainfall over the last 2 to 3 days, but we really would like to see more rain in Iowa, again, parts of northern Missouri, and even parts of Illinois. That's kind of your zone where we still need more rain. And if you want to expand out a little bit more from there, you could argue that parts of the Dakotas still need more rain as well. So basically, we could still use more rain in some of those areas that were dry leading into the last couple of days.
And what do you see going forward for the forecast?
Well, there's not much rain on the near-term horizon. We'll see some showers exit the southern Corn Belt and Delta over the next 24 hours, and that will leave everybody dry for 3, 4, maybe even 5 straight days. The only thunderstorms that we'll see over the next 5 days will primarily be in the plains, parts of the Dakotas, parts of Nebraska, Kansas, and points onto the south. There will even be a swath of heavy rain from Colorado into northwest Texas come this weekend, more so next week. But that would only affect about 5% of U.S. corn production. For everybody else, mainly drier than normal over the next 5 days, and more than likely all the way out to 7 to 10 days into the future. There just is not a whole lot of rain on the horizon, but we will caution that it will be cool. So even though we don't see a lot of rainfall, we don't see the highly unfavorable combination of hot and dry weather. It would be mainly dry weather with cool weather, but we could talk about the one caveat if you would like to hear about it.
And it is?
Well, there is this upper-level system that's going to drift into the plains. That's the same one that's going to produce all of the rain across the southwest, 5% of U.S. corn production. If that system were to somehow develop into an actual storm system, which is hinted by a few different models, that could dramatically change things by bringing on a lot of rain all of a sudden. Now, typically, what happens in this scenario is that you get all of the thunderstorms out there in the plains, but cool air across the Corn Belt would typically prevent that system from organizing and then drifting further to the east. That would keep all of that rain off to the south and west. The only reason we point this out is because there is a very low chance for that to occur. We wouldn't want to just completely ignore it and then suddenly come in to work tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, you'd be wondering why it's suddenly looking a lot wetter. At this point, I would say the chance of that is really low. We just want to mention it so everybody gets a full, well-rounded picture of the weather pattern coming up.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great afternoon.
That's Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather from Chicago, Illinois. You can listen to him again. In fact, most of our programming, anytime you'd like, on demand off of our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. You can try it as a podcast, too. It doesn't matter whether you're on an Android or an iPhone device. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play all work. So does NPR One.